It's Wednesday, April 22nd, and you're tuned in to the TNAB podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the whole wide world.
We do.
It's true. Yes, we do. Welcome back to the continuation of the epic saga of the quarantine life. Because that's where we are in April of 2020. I don't know how it's going in where whoever you guys listening are, or if that even was a sentence.
It barely.
You see?
Barely.
See, not being social to people has caused me to lose my silver tongue.
You know what kind of fucked me up last week?
What's that?
Is after we finished recording,
mm-hmm.
My throat hurt. Like, I hadn't talked in so long that talking for an hour straight, like, strained my vocal cords.
Wow. That's weird.
Yeah. Like, I got home and I was like, oh, like, kind of like sore. Like, it's kind of sore.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I guess you didn't think about, like, even small interactions on day-to-day basis. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I looked it up, and apparently that can happen. Like, if you don't talk for long periods of time, your vocal cords are a muscle.
Yeah. You gotta exercise them.
Yeah. And, like, some people who, like, are very quiet talkers, a lot of the time, it's because they don't talk a lot. So their vocal cords are weak. So when they do talk, they don't have, like, this bombastic... whatever.
That's why you always got to talk to yourself.
I guess. Yeah.
Like, that's the solution.
Just looking in the mirror, yeah. Walking down the street.
What's up, bitch?
You chump bitch, didn't go to the gym again? You fucking loser.
Cool. Yeah, here we are. Quarantine Life, Quarantine Podcast, here to help you get through it, because that's why we exist.
Go.
First up, we're going to hit the questions, and Joseph writes in because he's jonesing to know.
Oh, baby, a jonesing to know. I haven't had one of these in a while.
The Berserk Edition.
Hey.
Anthony.
What's up?
So stoked.
That
you're reading Berserk.
Hell yeah. It's very good.
I found Berserk through the Dreamcast game, watched the anime way too young, and was severely traumatized.
Okay.
Then eventually came to love the pain and embraced it.
I came to love the pain.
This sounds like an abusive relationship, my friend.
This sounds like a Kingdom Hearts relationship.
Now, I cosplay Guts at every anime convention,
Ooh, and baby.
I can with a magnetic sheath with and everything.
Wow.
Anime Boston 2020 RIP. I made so many great friends at the convention scene. Is just a blast for me.
Mm-hmm.
What's your guys' experience with anime conventions? Have you ever cosplayed? If not, is there a character that you could perfectly nail with an expensive cosplay that would force you to cross the line? Can be anyone from any game, anime, superhero, etc. Thanks for the great entertainment, TNQIAB.
TNQ.
Three nerds quarantined in a basement.
Oh, clever.
He also included pictures of his cosplay.
Oh, sweet. I want to see those.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Bro, you buff as fuck.
He has one of some friends. Can you see it?
Yo, that Griffith cosplay, though. Yo, your friend's cute as fuck.
Yeah.
How you gonna be out there looking like normies? Showing up to an anime. No neck beards. Looking fit as fuck. How you gonna do that? How you gonna flex on me like that? Literally, while holding the sword, you're gonna flex on me like that.
Anthony, you gotta work out or something now.
Which brings me to the cosplay issue.
Oh.
Every character I want to cosplay is shirtless, buff, has a six-pack. Like, that's the... usually the case. Like, yo, know who wanna cosplay? Dante from Devil May Cry 3. You know what that guy doesn't wear? A shirt.
Oh.
And he just has a six pack and a sick red coat.
Mm.
You know who else would be cool cosplay? Ooh. Kamina. You know what that guy doesn't wear? A shirt.
Yeah. That's true. I've only ever cosplayed once, and it was purely by accident. It was back when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I had a car.
Okay.
It was the first time I went to Anime North,
mm-hmm.
but we kind of went just on a whim after school one day.
Yeah.
And I didn't go home to change, so I was wearing my school uniform.
Oh.
And so you just look like background high school.
Background character high schooler? That's pretty good.
Yeah, and that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's really it.
Yeah, I used to cosplay a lot when I was younger. It'd be like once a year. you know,
yeah.
I dress up as like a pirate, go get candy.
Wow.
No, but like that's one of the things. It's like, yeah, I've always wanted to, but I've just never had either like the resources in terms of friends who also do it, and also just like the confidence. Like, I think the people who cosplay and who like dedicate that time to cosplay, like, they have excess confidence. Like, it's flowing out their asshole. So they're just like, hey, let me just go do this thing and look baller and do whatever. Like, you gotta have like a certain personality.
I think in my head, when it comes to like the difference between cosplay and going dressing up for Halloween is like, with Halloween, you don't really need to put too much effort into it.
You go to Dollarama.
Yeah, like, you just do the bare, like, I don't want to say do the bare minimum, but you do enough to show you put an effort, and your friends are like, cool, you're so-and-so.
Yeah.
I feel like if I'm going to cosplay, I need to go in with that mentality. Like, it can't be, like, you got
to
be...
It can't be half-assed. I have to match the character.
No, I feel like I'm going to go in with the Halloween mentality. Like, I...
Oh, you want to go as budget.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like the only reason that's stopping me now is because in my head it's like, oh, it's got to be the best of the best.
Yeah,
but I don't know, like, as much as I appreciate that stuff, I think there's also something to be said for people who just want to do it to be part of the community, or just to be have fun.
From what I've heard about the cosplay community, though,
yeah,
that is the trap.
Oh, I know, like that's like how you
start.
Go
in,
you
and start, you're just like your discount guts or whatever,
yeah,
and then you meet some people who are like, oh man, you're getting into it, cool beans, and this guy's in like LED out costume, whatever.
Yeah,
and then it's like, let me send you a website.
Yeah,
and then it's like, oh hey, that's not too hard.
Yeah,
you know, just go to Fabricland, you know, pick up some fabrics. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll buy a sewing machine, and then you're donezo. It's over.
But I mean, that's how it is with every hobby, right? Like, you get it on the ground floor, and then
someone's like, hey, but what if?
Yeah, but if it clicks, it clicks hard.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It's true. It's so true. Yeah. But yeah, those were sick cosplays, my dude.
Was there anybody you wanted to cosplay? Other than the ones you've already mentioned or anything else?
Yeah, it's a lot of that same archetype of, like, tough guy who punches shit.
Yeah.
So maybe be, like, a Ryu or a Ken. Probably a Ken, you know, considering I'm white. Maybe Ryu is a little bit less accurate.
You should go as Ryu. I'll go as Ken.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, TJ can go as a waterfall and we'll train under him.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Dan for a second.
Oh, you can go as Dan. No, you can go as Sean.
Sean.
Is TJ the darkest out of all of us?
Sure.
Are you darker than Vince? Are you more tan than Vince, Teach?
I don't know. I think
we're pretty... Sean's the black guy. Sean's the black guy from Street Fighter 3 who throws the basketball.
Oh, that guy.
Oh yeah, that could be a good cosplay.
If we won all his Joe characters, that'd be pretty good.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Like Terry Bogard. I would love to go as Terry Bogard from King of Fighters. Yeah, just like, hey, come out.
Yeah.
And just have the hat.
Yeah.
I think the one I wanted to do when I was younger, because like even when I was younger, my friends always said I had a very like young looking face, and sometimes like with certain haircuts I had a very feminine face.
Yeah.
And so I always want to go as Ash Crimson from King of Fighters. Do you know this Kiss character?
Yes.
And I always want to go, like, it's almost a crossplay, but it's a dude, so it's not.
Listen, but we all think it's a girl.
Right?
Like, so we all think it's a girl.
And so I wanted to go and just, like, trick fools.
Why?
Because I thought it'd be hilarious. Like, really? I want to crossplay and then, like, not say anything. And if some guy tries to hit on me and then come back with, like, thanks. Like, they take the deep voice and then do that shit.
Wow. Okay.
But I don't know. I've just never gotten into it. And now, like, age is creeping up on me, and I'm like, am I too? Is it too?
I think you can do whatever you want.
I don't know. One time I saw some kid's grandfather.
Yeah.
They had a duo cosplayer at Anime North, and the kid went as Kid Goku from Dragon Ball.
Whoa.
And the grandfather was Master Roshi.
Whoa. That's pretty cool.
That's fucking rad as shit.
That is pretty
cool. So.
I feel like, yeah, if I ever had kids, I would like to do that kind of stuff. I'm like, because I always think about, like, the...
That's where Halloween comes in. That's when you go to school and you're pimped out.
Yeah.
And then all the kids think you're cool. It's like, man, I wish my dad was as cool as, like, Vince Jr.'s dad.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I think the only one I've ever really wanted to cosplay was... It was pretty strong when I was younger, and it's definitely strong again only because I'm playing through Final Fantasy VII.
Char. Wait.
Char. No, it's Zach.
Zach would be Zach. Cool.
But Zach then, like, I've cool. never thought, but the only thing is, like, what do you do about the hair? Because Zach's Wick. Got, like, wicked Wick. Hair.
Yeah.
What is he? Zach FF7.
Zach Fair.
Yeah, he's got Sora-esque hair. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Zach is something else. Zach was always my favorite.
Yeah, it's a wig. You get a wig. Yeah. I'm looking on Google. This guy's got a wig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's yeah.
And that's your Zach wig. That's it.
And that's nothing else.
You don't want to go as like Hatsune Miku. You don't want to go as like Super Sonico.
The closest I want to be a girl is for the Overwatch's Halloween event, they have like sprays and stuff you put on the walls.
Yeah.
And one of the themes for the year, one of the years was all the characters, but they were kids. They were kid versions of themselves. And okay. Divas was a cardboard box. Like, it was her in a cardboard box.
You should go... Oh, I know what you should go as. You should go as Punch Kid.
Punch Kid? Oh!
Oh, yes. You should go as the spray yes. from Overwatch where he's yeah. the cast.
Yeah. That'd be cool. If I had like talent and money,
mm-hmm.
I'd pick a cool Monster Hunter outfit.
Oh, okay.
I'd just
go that'd be all. Like just yeah. You pick your favorite armor set, and yeah. then
and I'd go all the way. All
right.
Yeah.
Diablos Nero is what you'd do.
The fucking horns.
The giant horns.
No, I couldn't. I think you know what? To be honest, I'd be pretty basic. I'd probably just be like Rathalos.
But that's something like people could.
That's true.
Yeah.
And like I'd probably walk it. I don't know. Would you pick a great sword? Long sword?
Well, that's a personal preference.
Yeah. But I mean, it'd be pretty cool if I had like the switch axe or the charge blade that worked.
Or you know, you could go as like something completely buck wild, like you just pick the Gogmazios armor.
Oh god.
Like nobody knows who that is.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. And then of course there's still a part of me who wants to go as a giant robot of any fiction.
I'm surprised you haven't said Transformer yet.
I would love to be like, especially the ones that transform.
Yeah, like, and you just duck into a ball and you yeah, become a
like,
car. Yeah,
that'd be so cool. But also, I want to be able to move.
Nah, movement's overrated.
Okay.
Oh, no, that's the next level. Put real working wheels on your set.
So wait, I can't walk? I can't
but you can roll out, baby.
That's too real. That's too real. Okay, yeah, that's a good idea, though.
Wait, couldn't Rat Trap, didn't he have, like, a wheelchair-looking motif? Couldn't he, like, half-transform and go on wheels or some shit?
Yes, Trans Metal Rat Trap had wheels. Like, he had a car mode.
Yeah, yeah,
He had, like, a hot rod mode?
I think so.
Rat
yeah, yeah, this mode. One. Yeah, and then his hind legs were wheels and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and Dinobot used to ride on him.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm. And Megatron had rollerblades, rocket-powered rollerblades.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I would want to do. Speaking of rocket-powered rollerblades,
what?
Jet Set Radio Future characters are so cool. Like, they have so much style. And that's, like, one I don't need, like, a six-pack for. I just need to be skinny, which I'm already there. So,
yeah. Thanks for the question.
Yeah, that was fun.
Next up, we got a question to chew on. Paul Shorten with a short one.
What's up?
What would you say is the most influential video game?
Oof.
And are you continuing to see its impact in current games? Games.
Pong.
Influential.
That's... Damn, dude. Like, my... This is not an obvious answer, but my go-to answer is always Killswitch.
Why?
Because it is the first... video game with cover-based mechanics.
Interesting.
And they are in fucking everything now.
What's the last... yeah.
Right, like, Killswitch pioneered it, Gears of War mastered it.
But you see, like, I don't know if first equals influential.
I guess.
Right, because, like, it's someone could have the first innovative idea, but if no one sees it,
mm-hmm.
isn't it is it still...
Fair. You know what? Fair point. But I'm always one to credit the originator rather than
I know.
The perfectionist.
I know. Because on your argument, I would take Gears of War any day.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I totally understand that, right?
Yeah.
But then I'd come back, I'd be like, bitch, they are nothing without Killswitch, okay?
Oh, I know. We've been down this road before. I don't know. Most influential, like, because I'm trying to think about, would you say that today's, like, the modern day is more or less the most popular and accepted version of video games?
Yeah. I know we've had this discussion before, and you wouldn't think that I would take this stance, but I think the modern day video games are always the best time to play video games.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's when, like, you're a teenage kid and you discover, like, older music, and you're like, oh fuck, I wish I was born in a different generation. Yeah. Right? And it's like, oh, look at all these good songs. Like, the thing is, though, it's like, you gotta remember, the only thing you're being shown is, like, the cherry-picked creme de la creme,
yeah,
of music, right? And it's the same thing with video games. Like, nobody's going out there and being like, hey, remember Virtua Quest?
Yeah.
No, nobody fucking remembers Virtua Quest except for me. And it's garbage. It's not a good game, right? But if someone goes like, oh, do you remember Resident Evil 4? Yeah, because that shit's amazing. It, like, revolutionized third-person shooting, and it's still being remade today because it holds up.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. Like, that control scheme is still being used in the latest Resident Evil game.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, I heard the game's good.
Yeah, I heard they're all good. And they're remaking 4, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. Most influential. Okay, I'm gonna have to say it's... Yeah, okay, I'll go with Grand Theft Auto 3.
That's interesting. Because I think that's also one of the first games that had open world. But it's not necessarily the best.
It's not the best, but I feel like many games were modeled after that.
Oh, yeah. It was a fucking... I remember playing that game for hours.
I feel like... Oh God, I feel like that game is influential to the point that it has made me hate a lot of video games. Because every game now is just open world. Like, you can't make a game nowadays that isn't, yeah, open world.
I think Assassin's Creed, for better or worse, is very influential.
Okay, yeah.
In terms of, like, scouting out maps, climbing up towers, doing it. All that
towers.
Shit.
Towers. Right? Towers.
Fucking tower. Like, fuck you in these fucking towers.
Yeah.
But, like, that sort of gameplay loop is so ingrained in open world video games, mm-hmm, now, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I gotta put Final Fantasy VII in the conversation.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was the one that was, like, 3D JRPG, and then, like, all of a sudden, that was everything.
Everyone was like, hey, but what about Legend of Dragoon?
Yeah. Like, fucking everywhere. Yeah. It was, like, that was the formula for a decade.
Mm-hmm. I'm probably gonna throw the original Devil May Cry in there, just in terms of character action. Like, super stylish action at the time. If you go back to it...
Were you talking about one?
I'm talking about one. Like, if you go back to it, that game's rough as fuck.
It is.
Like, you jump with triangle.
Because that game had Resident Evil controls.
It did. It had locked cameras.
Oh, God.
It's fucking... Again, you jump with triangle.
I hated that game.
It's rough, but, like, it was the building blocks for Bayonetta.
Yeah.
For even weirder things like Vanquish and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right? You got to throw in classics like Mario. Even today,
yeah,
right. There's the obvious ones: Mario, Zelda, Pac-Man.
Okay, I'm gonna throw. Ooh,
Qbert. No, fuck Qbert. But Qbert, though.
I feel like Halo has to be in there.
Oh, but I would give that. That's where I wouldn't give it to Halo. I'd give it to Halo 2.
Fair. Okay. Right. I'll take that.
Halo 2 strictly because of online multiplayer.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, Halo. You're right. Halo 2 is the one. If we could only pick one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just say Halo.
The series.
Yeah. Halo.
The Rihanna song?
No.
Is that song by Rihanna?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
But anyways, I think we listed enough. I think there's enough there.
Yeah, they're... Metal Gear.
Oh, Metal Gear.
Right? Hey, Splinter Cell. Like...
Oh, the better game.
Where do you think that came from?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The Excitebike. Think of Excitebike, and now think of Trials.
I don't know. I think that's a little smaller, though.
Smaller. That's very niche.
Yeah.
But it's like Trials is just evolution version of Excitebike.
Yeah. Okay. I get
Excite Truck for the Wii.
But yeah, there you go, Paul.
There's a lot of stuff that I think, like, I don't know. There's very few initiators, and there's a lot of innovators.
Yeah.
And I think on the spot, without like doing some sort of deep dive into a library, it's like you kind of hit the obvious ones.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, more or less. I think they're all there. I mean, like, I guess if you want to call it, like, what's the most recent one, then who?
Final Fantasy VII, Dirge of Cerberus.
No.
No. I feel like we have to throw in some sort of nod to whatever the Battle Royale mechanic is now.
PUBG?
Sure. That's the one, yeah. That's the one.
The movie Battle Royale.
I feel like that's the real one.
Because, like, that birthed the Hunger Games.
Yeah, like, yeah, so that's a... Because that's what that's the hot shit right now, right? Like, that is...
Yeah,
what is
Warzone, the... yeah. Apex, Fortnite. Like, yeah, there is no floss, yes. All right? There is no floss dance, yes, without any sort of PUBG or Battle Royale movie.
Right, absolutely. So I feel like, yeah, we hit all the big ones, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move into our picks of the week.
Go.
I have one. Yo. Do you remember maybe a little over a decade ago, there was a game that we all revered?
Revered?
Because it broke our PCs.
Oh.
And we had asked one question.
I'm going to close this tab now because I think we have the same pick.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Do you remember what that question was?
Can it run?
Can it run Crysis?
Can it run today? Even on your NVIDIA 2080, the question still remains.
But can it run Crysis?
But can it run Crysis?
Well, turns out Crysis is coming back. They are remastering Crysis.
On the PS4.
Yep.
On the Xbox One.
Uh-huh.
And on the Switch.
And the Switch. But they're also remastering for the PC.
Oh.
So the question will return. Can it run Crysis?
So here's the insider baseball. Do you know why Crysis was so hard to run on modern day PCs?
No. Was it because it wasn't optimized?
So it was ahead of its time for graphics. Like, even now, that game still looks good. And they do some weird physics shit that, like, some games now don't do.
Yeah.
Right? But also, that game was coded like shit.
Yes.
So
yes.
It was not optimized at fucking all.
I think that's what I remember reading, yeah.
So it was just a bunch of Europeans being like, fuck it, put it out on the computer. And then
does it work?
Yeah.
Just about.
Okay, ship it. Collect the ruples. And then it's just that's the real reason why that game was so rough to run.
Did you ever play it?
Yeah. I played it. I bought it. Played it on my shitty PC at low. Like, everything.
I think everybody ran it at low.
And then chugged. And I was like, this game's the best.
I just remember, like, because you had that suit with all the powers,
yeah, with
right?
The power wheel.
I remember the voiceover sounded so cool. It's like...
Oh, stealth.
Yeah.
Power.
Speed.
Yeah.
You just dashed through the forest.
I remember I couldn't play the game well enough because my computer wasn't good enough that I could, like, switch between everything. So I'd watch, like, whatever the YouTube equivalent was at the time of people being like, oh, check it out, like, my computer's fucking baller, but also I can, like, combo all these powers in Crysis. And you see them, like, speed up to a guy, then strength punch him, and then stealth, and then, like, shoot a guy, and, like, whatever. And also, for some reason in that game, when you did strength, your bullets got stronger.
Well, yeah.
Because, like, what, did you, like, press the trigger harder? I don't know. But there's a lot of fun stuff in that game.
Yeah, the game had some wicked physics, I remember.
Did you play, like, 2 and 3?
I played 2.
2's super fun.
It is, yeah.
And that's also a brutal thing to play.
No, I also played 3. Yeah.
I never played 3. But 2's brutal on your PC because it's got all those water and ice physics.
Yeah, no, I played them on the Xbox, actually.
Oh, wow.
The 360.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I can't remember what happened or what those games are about.
It's very generic.
Yeah.
It's I got a power suit.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yeah. It might as well be Call of Duty Super Soldier.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Anything else that I saw my picks this week? Well, no. There's just a lot of news of things being delayed and delayed and delayed. Sounds like next year is going to be the great year for movies. But otherwise, that's it.
Speaking of delays, Evangelion is delayed.
Yeah, that's right. I did read this.
Yeah. You know what, though?
What?
I have my doubts. You know that, like, what's that Rockstar game where you're the detective?
Oh, shit. I know what you're talking about. Oh, I can't. L.A. Noir.
L.A. Noir. L.A. Noir. Right? And it's that meme where it's like X-Doubt.
Yeah.
It's that face. I'm like, doubt. Like, because, you know what? This movie's been delayed for years. And so they're just like, oh, yeah, no, totally. It's COVID. It's totally not us this time. It's COVID's problem. Sorry about it. Fuck you. So the Evangelion movie franchise continues to never be finished. But in good anime news, Crunchyroll is putting the first three classic Sailor Moon series on YouTube for free.
Wow.
So did it start now? Well, when did this news story come out? It came out yesterday. So starting this Friday, it goes until the middle of July. You can watch the classic Sailor Moon series for free on YouTube. Wow. It's just like a PSA. Just like a PSA.
Cool.
In other news, Sony, makers of the upcoming PS5, they have reported that this year they will create, they will make, they will produce fewer PS5s than normal at a console launch.
Okay.
Not because of COVID.
Mm.
Because it's so damn expensive. Sony has came out in a blue, or it wasn't Sony that came out. There was a source in a Bloomberg article that was they're going to be producing a low number of PS5s because it's so expensive that they don't think people are going to buy it at the high price. So they're going to produce less to try and like sell out, which, you know, that's just resale. That's just resale market, baby. Mm. That's PS3 all over again. I'm going to buy one. Can't find it anywhere. Resell that shit on eBay. So obviously,
I'm going to buy one.
I got to find one. I got to get in there.
I got to buy that.
I got to get on the ground floor.
Yep.
So yeah, keep an eye out for that. If you really want a PS5, watch out.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last pick. This one I thought was cool, and it kind of really makes me want to buy this game. Super Mario Maker 2 has its, I think it's its final update.
Yep, final.
It's got a world maker now. Mm. So not obviously you can make levels and all that stuff, but you can make overworlds now.
Mm.
If you want to make your own Super Mario, you can now do it fully.
I'm surprised it took them this long.
I'm also surprised it took them this long. But here's what I'm not surprised about.
Mm.
It's Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So they fucked up somehow.
Mm.
You cannot search by worlds.
Hold on. Right hand. I give you the world maker.
Finally, thank you, God.
Left hand. You cannot look for it.
You can only keep them to yourself. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, you can have like bonus stages, warp pipes. You can create your own game within a game.
Wow.
And then invite your friends over to play it because fuck you.
Aww.
So yeah.
No Nintendo.
So yeah, those are my picks. They're kind of quick. They're kind of short. I don't know. There wasn't too much happening.
Nothing's happening in the world. What are you talking about?
Yeah, there wasn't too much happening. It's a lot, bruh. The amount of fluff pieces on Kotaku right now.
Oh yeah.
Dude, did you know that Final Fantasy VII Remake has realistic air conditioners?
Wow.
That's a literal article on that website.
Wow, slow news day, huh?
Slow news day, baby.
Wow.
There's like some shit happening in the streaming world, but I've started to realize that streamer culture is my TMZ.
Yep.
And I hate it.
But you love it.
So now I'm trying to get away from it.
But you love it. I've been watching a lot of tech YouTubers lately.
Oh, really? What's going on in the what's tech drama happening?
I don't know.
Someone get an iPhone before them, and then they're like, yo, fuck this company.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
You know that channel Unbox Therapy?
Yeah.
He had a video basically like apologizing to Apple because Apple doesn't send him shit anymore.
Really? Why doesn't he send? Why don't they send their shit anymore?
Because I think like 5 years ago, remember when the iPhones were bending?
Yeah.
He like bent an iPhone on his channel. And Apple's like, you're out. So they don't send him stuff anymore.
See, he's... this is where I have a problem. Because you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be like, sorry, send me an iPhone. Like, you're the biggest unboxing channel in the world. Right? Like, you're a main source where people go for information. You should be that person that says, hey, this iPhone bends and it's not good. It's not great. Yeah. Right? Also, doesn't that guy use a Samsung for like 9 out of 10 phones whenever he has one?
Yeah.
Like, he uses Android mostly.
Yeah, but he uses a MacBook. So, like, that's the divide, oh, right? No.
Well, then who cares? He's not even part of the ecosystem. Also, it doesn't stop him. Also, fuck him. Because how much money does that guy make, even with his crew?
Yeah, but, like, he's not there getting the first day clicks anymore. He's got to wait for the product to release.
God. Just, you know what?
Everyone out there, like iJustine or like...
Is iJustine still a YouTube channel?
Yeah. Oh my God. What's his face?
Linus Tech Tips.
Linus Tech Tips. Marques Brownlee.
Yeah.
MKB.
Marques Brown.
Yeah. They all dropped their reviews of that new iPhone all at the same time. Oh, but where was the our Canadian fellow?
Unbox Therapy?
He's in the feud with Apple. That's what I've been watching.
Oh, whatever. They're all dying of COVID over there. He's going to be alive. And soon he's going to be the only unboxing tech channel. Well, I think Linus Tech Tips is also Canadian.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I think he's in Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. They don't have that corona there.
Yeah.
They still got their shit open there, right?
That's crazy.
Because I was... Okay. A little inside baseball.
Yeah.
But like, because of my job, I know which malls are making no money. And mm-hmm. I'm like, how come these two are making money? And I'm like, they're the Vancouver locations. And I looked into it, I'm like, oh, fuck, they're all still open over there.
British Columbia, under 2,000 confirmed cases.
I know.
Wow, okay.
Like, what are they doing that we're doing wrong?
Quebec, dude, get your shit together, you fucking Frenchies. Oh, my God.
Well, you know the French, right?
But you know where we gotta be.
Mm.
None of it. Zero cases.
Yeah, because there's no one there.
They're always social distancing. Hey, what about the Yukon? Only 11.
Did you hear about the story of the family from Toronto who tried to run away to Yukon?
No.
During the virus?
No.
And they were caught and told to go back home.
What? Why?
Because they were from the city. And they're like, we can't have you bring that in here.
Oh, the Yukon was like, fuck you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know how legal that is, but that's fantastic.
Yeah, so I don't know. Anyways, yeah, that's it for our picks.
Imagine having to illegally immigrate in your own country. That's hilarious.
Yeah, they were trying to get away. Okay. Let's do our weeks.
You want me to go first?
Sure.
All right, check this shit out. I've been playing... Where'd it go? I fucking lost it. I've been playing Persona 5 The Royal.
Oh, I know.
Religiously.
Yes.
Last time I talked about it,
yes,
I started the game.
Mm. Let's start the game.
I met the first character.
Yeah.
I wasn't even at the first dungeon. Like, I just went to Sojiro's place.
Yeah.
I am now in September.
Mm. So how many dungeons is that?
I just got Futaba.
Oh, you just got Futaba?
Yeah.
Oh, you got a ways to go.
I still got a little bit to go. I think I'm like halfway.
Mm.
But here's the kicker. I almost have all of my social stats maxed out.
Nice.
It turns out that fortune teller, useful as fuck.
Really?
Because I didn't touch her in the last game because she's like, you got to give me 100,000 yen to buy a fucking rock salt. And I was like, fuck, I'm not going to do any more of this. Fuck this. And this was one of the earlier ones you get using the guide I'm using. And bruh, she has a bunch of shit. So there's one where it's like you get bonuses for social stats. So you do like an affinity reading. No, sorry, a luck reading. And then you pick which stat you want a bonus for.
Yeah.
And then during that day, if you gain a stat of that type,
yeah,
you get double.
Whoa.
Then there's affinity ones. So like, you know how like when you want to go out on a date or you want to level up a confidant, sometimes it's like, hey, I ain't feeling it. We ain't going to level up today.
Yeah.
Right? You can go to her, and if you have the matching arcana, and then go to them and be like, I want to level up Ryuji's confidant, yeah, whatever. It'll give you 2 points for free.
Whoa.
And it doesn't, none of these pass time.
Whoa.
It's awesome.
That does sound useful.
Also, before you go into a dungeon, you can go up to her and get a money reading. And then if you go into battle and you finish off an enemy with an all-out attack, I think you get double gold.
Whoa.
I'm sitting at 500,000 yen right now.
Whoa.
I'm fucking baller.
Wow.
So it's awesome. I've gone so fast through all these days is that I'm skipping pretty much everything that I've seen already.
Okay.
Right? So it's like, oh, here's this long story cutscene about Futaba's mom and whatever. Fast forward. Here's an anime cutscene of what's his face getting his power, the art guy getting his power.
Yeah, I was forgetting the name. Yes. Yusuke?
Yeah, Yusuke. Skip that shit. Like, turns out, game's kind of short when you're skipping all the dialogue.
Yeah, that's kind of what the backbone of an RPG is, the story.
Yeah, pretty much. So I think the only thing I got to worry about, and I don't forget, is doing the twins confidant one, because that's the one where you have to, like, give me this persona with this skill.
Oh, right? Yeah, so that's tough.
The correct fusions and stuff.
Yeah.
So I got to do that by a certain date. And even, I remember, if it's the same as Persona 4, their rank 10 should be nuts, because that's the one where it's like, if you want, you can fuse a persona of a higher level than you, but you just got to pay money.
Yeah.
Right? And that's, like, that's sick. And if I want 100% Persona Compendium, I'm going to need to do that eventually.
Yes.
Yeah. But, so yeah, I'm playing on hard. I'm using DLC Persona. And bruh, that shit is brutal on hard. Even with DLC Persona. Sometimes I'll walk in with, Messiah Picaro or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the P3, the ultimate God Ender Persona. And I'm strong to every element. And some enemy will come in and, like, lucky punch me, and then I get knocked down. And then, like, Mabu Fudain, and then like Anne gets knocked down, and it's just, oh, you're dead, fuck you. And it's like, I didn't even get a turn, what the fuck, I just started the battle.
Yeah, that's Persona, that's Atlas,
it's Persona. But the new girl, Kasumi, I think she'd be your best girl.
She what?
I think she'd be your best girl.
I know she would be.
Yeah,
best
girl. She's part of the Faith Persona, a new subset.
The Faith Persona.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know about that, but all right.
And she's, she's honor student.
Oh, yes.
And gymnastics master.
Yes.
Weird, oddly enough, her social, her rank, her confidant rank only goes up to 5.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's her max. Her max is 5.
Okay.
But she's just like, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to, you know what, like, I need to be positive. She's kind of goofy.
Yeah.
Like, dude, she's pure waifu material.
Yeah.
Like, she's a fucking skinny as a rail. Like, she is made for a Japanese audience. her legs are toothpicks.
Wow.
She's got that gap.
She got that gap.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're talking about.
She got that gap.
I see.
And, it's so cool seeing all of the different persona, like, confidant interactions and all that stuff. And you're right. Like, when you use one of these guides, you truly see, like, how dense this fucking game is. There's so much shit to do.
Yeah.
So much shit. I think the only thing that kind of, like, freaked me out originally during the guide is that I did have money problems. Because going into Mementos takes a day, right? But to maximize your social links, you got to do everything in Mementos at once, right? So they're like, at a certain point in the guide, it's like, go to Mementos, finish like these fucking 12 side quests all at the same time.
Yeah.
Luckily, by that point, I had gotten to a high enough confidant rank with Ryuji where it's like, if you fight weak enemies, you have a chance to insta-kill them.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So there was a point where it's just like, I'm a grind. And then I would walk around going like, insta-kill, 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 insta-kill. And I just grinded up all that money. Right, and all that experience. So
yeah, that's how I usually play Persona. Like, I'll pick one day.
Yeah.
And I will grind for hours.
Yeah. And that's how you have to do it with the guide. Like, every time you go into Mementos, every time you go into a palace, you have to do everything in the one day.
Yep.
Or else you don't have enough time.
Yep.
To do anything else. So yeah, I got Futaba. We went to, on summer vacation, did all that. I have a couple rank 10 confidants now. One was Ryuji, one is On, and then So here's the kicker though. For the guide to see all the stuff, you need to romance the teacher.
Don't you have to romance them all?
No, but so the thing is, you can get to rank 10, but you don't need to romance thing. But if you romance a teacher, you get a certain item, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And so you have to romance the teacher to get this item.
Okay.
But I never romanced the teacher in the old game, right? Because I wanted Punk Rock Doctor. So what happened in the old game is I got to 10 with Punk Rock Doctor, and then I was like, oh, I'm gonna be cheeky and like be playful or whatever. Yeah. But that was the wrong choice.
Yeah.
And so we just became friends. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
And then I got to rank 9 going into rank 10 with the teacher. And when I got to rank 9 with the teacher, the next day was the end of the game. And I'm like, fuck. Yeah. So this time it turns out, bro, this is ultimate power fan. This is ultimate male fantasy. Not only are you good-looking high schooler with perfect grades, killer bod, you're dating your cutie pie teacher, and then at max rank 10, get this shit. If you go into fucking Mementos or whatever, you know how you can't go out of LeBlanc, bro. You can call up your teacher
and she'll come and massage you.
To come in a maid outfit and massage you in your room so you can go do stuff later. Yeah,
so that you don't feel
tired.
I know.
That's fucked up.
Cause I had that.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
But also awesome. pure male fantasy.
Yeah.
And I want it.
I don't know. Like, I get why she comes over to give a massage. I don't know why she has to be in the costume.
Do you know why she comes in the costume? Because she said, you know, it'd be weird if someone saw a teacher coming to your house at night. It's like, bitch, you wear a cardigan. This fucking maid costume isn't bringing attention to the coffee shop.
Yeah.
Huh? Like, no one in the neighborhood's being like, hey, Sajira, you know, your live-in son is fucking ordering maids every night. And hearing sex noises from the bathroom.
That's about right.
So, yeah, all the new stuff is cool, too. There's a couple new areas you can go to. New shopping districts and stuff like that. You can go play billiards.
I heard there's more minigames.
Play darts.
Yeah.
You know that like sooty armor you get where you have to like go to the laundromat, clean it, and then you can get shit?
Yeah.
They added a new shop. It's like a used clothes shop where a guy will buy your sooty armor in bulk and then you get money for it, but then you also get points.
Oh.
And then those points you can spend on like a fucking gacha. And the gacha is like you get 2 pieces of armor at random that are like the dungeon armor. Right? So you can just sell it for hella money.
Yeah.
Instead of doing that. It's it's fucking cool. That game's awesome. I continue to love it. I still like it more than 4, and I still like it less than 3.
Okay. Good to know.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Other than that, I watched a movie. It's called Sideways.
Sideways.
Yeah, have you heard of this one? It's with Paul Giamatti.
I feel like when I see the poster, I'll know.
Yeah, it's with Paul Giamatti. It came out in 2004. It's a romantic comedy, and it's about Paul Giamatti's character. His name is Miles. He's a writer. Right now, he's a school English teacher, and he basically goes on a bro road trip to wine country with his friend who's going to get married soon. Right. Okay. And then a lot of the themes around it is that like his friend is a fucking meathead actor. And then he's like this really intellectual dude. He loves wine and everything. Loves that. And like at its core, it's a rom-com. And the thing about it is that it has a lot of faulty characters. There's a lot of characters in it that are very complex. There's a lot of like depth to each person in the movie, and there's a lot of interesting through lines, but at its core, it's a rom-com. And it doesn't really do anything new with that formula, and I don't understand why this movie is so revered. Like in the film connoisseurs, they're like, oh, Sideways, mwah, gorgeous, whatever. And I think it's just because it's a bunch of wine shit. I think it's like this character being like, ah, yes, great at, like, writers and whatever. And then also like, oh, you can taste the certain type of grape in this wine. It's like a bunch of people, this guy being like really high class or whatever.
Yep.
And I just don't get why it's so good. Because like the characters in this show are insufferable, or in this movie are insufferable. The meathead character is constantly trying to cheat on his wife. Or his soon-to-be wife. And, like, there's no character arc to him.
Yeah.
And while Paul Giamatti's character has depth, they have all this potential with this character of how much they've set up, like, his struggles and stuff like that. But they keep him as this, like, really whiny bitch who...
As one does.
And kind of never learns from the mistakes of his friends, the mistakes of his own. Stuff like that. He never moves on from certain things. And they leave this like really open-ended ending where yeah. They're like, oh, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, just because like you have your little did the dreidel fall or did the dreidel stay, yeah. Like doesn't mean it's a good ending. Right? It just like it's just that's just the type of ending. The reason that ending works in fucking Inception is because the rest of that movie's build-up was awesome.
Yeah.
But in this movie, it's just like here's a bunch of characters being fucking pieces of garbage. For 2 hours drinking wine.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just not cultured enough. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe you gotta watch it and come back and like give me the...
Can you tell me any rom-com you'd like?
I know there have been rom-coms.
Okay. All right. Just because when you said rom-com, I'm like, why are you watching this? You're not gonna like it.
I know there's been... It was recommended to me.
Okay.
It was a group watch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a parental bonding experience.
Oh, is yeah. that what this is?
Yeah. And I was like, I guess, I don't know. So that kind of sucked, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
The other thing I watched is called Top Secret. It is a movie from the 1980s.
Okay.
It is a, who were the... Is the Zucker brothers, David Zucker and Jerry Zucker. You probably don't know them by name, but they are people, the writers and directors behind fucking comedy masterpieces like Airplane
okay.
and Naked Gun.
Okay.
Like just absolute, some of the best comedy movies ever made.
You've alienated the entire audience.
Good. They should watch those movies. They're fucking awesome. And this one's like one of their lesser known. I watched a... with Red Letter Media review about it. And they're like, this is like their secret best film. And it's like fucking awesome. There's so yeah. many good gags and whatever. So I was like, I'm going to download and watch it. And so it's about this guy, Nick. He's basically modern day Elvis, the Beatles. He gets sent to East Germany to perform in a concert, a festival, like a culture festival.
Yeah.
And this is actually all a ploy by the government. To where when the festival's going on, they're going to launch an attack against America.
Mm.
And then, you know, East Germany's going to be fucking baller.
Yeah.
And that's the story, but really it's all about the jokes, right? And so it's Nick being a fish out of water in East Germany. He meets this, like, rebel group. And it's all these airplane-like slapstick-style comedy gags. It's not their best movie. Not even close. There are some really fucking awesome gags in it.
Yeah.
One really stupid one was at the beginning, they have like a fake music video. And all of his songs are about skeet shooting.
Wow. Right?
But like done in the style of like the Beach Boys.
Okay.
And there's one where a girl is getting a tan and she's laying on the beach, right? And then she sees something going on and it's like, oh, what's going on over there? And she lifts up. And then there's two holes in the sand where her boobs go while she's doing the tan. Like, it's that kind of comedy.
Oh.
There was a quote in the Red Letter Media review that apparently Roger Ebert put it in his review where he's like, the Zucker movies are movies where you laugh twice at a joke. Once for laughing at the joke, and the second time laughing at yourself for laughing at the joke. Right? Because they're so dumb.
Mm.
And there's a lot of good ones and some impressive ones. Like there was one where they fall into a river and they have a classic Western bar brawl, but everything is underwater. There's a bar underwater. There's chairs underwater.
Okay.
Guy breaks a beer bottle over somebody's head underwater.
Okay.
He puts on a hat and walks out saloon doors underwater. Like, it's fucking impressive.
Wow.
It's crazy, but it's definitely not their best. If you haven't seen a David Zucker movie or the Zucker Brothers movie, like, just watch Airplane. Like, that's cream of the crop. That shit's awesome.
Okay.
So that was kind of disappointing, but in fun TV shows and movies, I watched a new Netflix show called The Midnight Gospel. It is by the animator who did Adventure Time. What's his name?
So this is an animated thing too?
It's an animated thing. Pendleton Ward, I think his name is. Did he create Adventure Time?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy. I like anime.
Do you, though?
I do.
Oh, he did he did Adventure Time and Steven Universe.
Oh, I gotta watch that.
Yeah. So, it's him with this guy, Duncan Trussell. Duncan Trussell is, he's a comedian, podcaster, and he's kind of known for, like, just being kind of fucking out there. Like, he's your stereotypical hippie, right? He's open to, like, every idea. Like, he thinks everyone should probably do hallucinogenics to, like, open up their mind and shit. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty funny show because it's a podcast, kind of. So what the show is, it's this guy, he lives in space, and he runs a cross-universe podcast.
Okay.
And what he does is that he has this computer that can send his mind into a simulation of any Earth or any planet of the universe.
Okay.
And then he interviews those people in that simulation universe and then releases it on his podcast back at home.
Whoa.
Right? But he uses the show as like a gateway to talking about weird topics. So the first episode has Dr. Drew Pinsky. He's a really famous doctor. If any of people listening, if your mom watched Oprah at any point, they know who Dr. Drew is. He's very famous. And they got into, like, it's a 20-minute episode where Dr. Drew, in their planet that they're in, he's the president of the United States, and he's fighting off zombies, right?
Okay.
And while they're doing the podcast, they're talking about drug usage in America or across the world. Like, it's weird that, like, alcohol's A-okay, but weed is not, and stuff like that. And then they talk about, like, opioids versus alternative medicines and stuff like that. And it's, like, an actual, like, philosophical discussion about drugs and stuff. And, like, Dr. Drew had this whole point where he's like, I don't think drugs are bad. Like, Ambien can be good. Abusing Ambien is bad. Like, it depends on the circumstance. There are no bad drugs. But then what the show does is that it uses the cartoon to emphasize the points these experts are trying to make within their discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So at the slight spoilers for episode one, at the end of the episode, the people who are in this world who are taken over by zombies or whatever, they get bit. And then they realize that, like, oh, when you're a zombie, it's like this magical world that's fucking awesome and whatever, like, and everyone's in peace and love. But then what happens is that people who are still alive create a drug that cures you of being a zombie, right? And so they shoot it out at people like it's a fucking trank dart, and it's insta-heal.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens, like, the comical part is that you'll insta-heal me in a group of zombies, and then I'll get eaten again, right? So it's, like, emphasizing the point of there are no bad drugs. Like, the anti-zombie drug is a good drug, but you used it in the wrong circumstance, mm-hmm. and it got me killed, mm-hmm. right? And every episode is kind of like that.
I see.
Like, the second episode is all about death, and you're following he becomes, like, this animal that goes to a planet, and it's this whole process of them being murdered for meat production, right? But then these philosophical experts that he's speaking to are speaking about death, being able to laugh at death. It's a necessity, but why is everyone so afraid of it and stuff like that? And yeah, it's really cool. It's definitely like some stoner shit.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, the way it's animated and stuff is super trippy because it's all alien worlds and stuff like that. But I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's real good. I can't wait till watch more of it. And then the last thing I've been doing is I got into the Valorant beta.
Yeah, yep.
That's a good ass game.
Is it?
Val it's kind of crazy to think about, but I don't think a lot of games do shooters like CSGO, like Counter-Strike in general,
mm-hmm.
right? Can you really name a modern-day Counter-Strike clone?
No, but right. I feel like Counter-Strike is so definitely its own thing. Like, you either love it or you can't stand it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And it's, like, such a deep learning curve. Like, you gotta learn bullet sprays and stuff like that. And dude, Valorant is Counter-Strike. Straight up. Just kind of different because of the powers you can use. So, for people who don't know, it's a tactical first-person shooter. It's all about map control. It's all about precise aiming mm-hmm. and that quick flick to the headshot, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuff like that. In certain cases, though, I feel like it's more so than Counter-Strike, but I'll get to that. The cool part about Valorant is their hero system. So they've taken, like, the champions and stuff from League of Legends, and they applied that concept to first-person shooting. Kind of in the same way that Overwatch did it, right?
Yep.
But... It was funny because there's an interview with the creators of the game, and they're like, you know, we wanted to do something different, you know, something that other people aren't doing. And then some, I think it was a Penny Arcade comic.
Yeah.
And they're just like, hey, what if we had a guy who shot arrows and his special went through walls? Like, it's just Hanzo, baby. Like, what are you doing? But in the different context, it's pretty cool. So you have a bunch of different heroes. They all have different powers. And you have to buy these powers pre-round. So if you use them in the last round... Like, say you used your smoke screen in the last round, you gotta rebuy it again for the next round.
Okay.
Right? So currency is a big factor in here. But yeah, it is a tactical first-person shooter with superhero powers, and it's very fun. The big thing that these guys said, it was like, we want it to be tactical. So you go down in, like, 2-3 bullets.
Yeah.
Even with armor. And the thing I've noticed, at least, is that I've always been good in Counter-Strike at, like, reading a strategy and, like, being able to capitalize on that and, like, getting around, like, flanking an enemy and doing stuff.
Yeah.
But my aim is dog shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, learning how to control sprays and all that stuff has always been pretty hard for me.
Yeah.
But in this game, you go down fucking fast. And I have found myself in many occasions where if I play a character where I can, like, kind of fake out opponents and, like, get around them and stuff,
yeah,
if I come up behind them, they're just fucked.
Yeah.
Like, they're dead. And there's a lot of different like training scenarios that the game gives you in order to practice those kind of scenarios, and also like bullet spray and stuff like that. They have like a firing range where it like randomly spawns stuff that'll disappear, so you can like mm-hmm. practice your flicks.
Yeah.
They have like a target range, so you could see how a gun does its spread and stuff like that. It's hard to compare it to anything other than Counter-Strike because it is so Counter-Strike.
Yep.
But yeah, like I was playing a couple rounds last night, and like by the end of it was so exhilarating, like being the last person on a team and then like getting 3 kills and like winning the match for our mm-hmm. team and stuff. Like I was perspiring.
Wow.
Like I had sweat under my armpits.
Gross.
And I was like, this is disgusting. I need to put on some deodorant. Mm-hmm.
Who makes this game again?
It's League of Legends, baby.
That's what it was. Riot Games. Yes. Okay. It was during their huge, like...
Project A or whatever. Okay. Yeah. So they had Legends of Runeterra. That was their card game. Now this is Valorant. This is their first-person shooter. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's super cool. I like it. If you want to get into the beta, though, it's caused some drama in the Twitch sphere, in the streaming sphere. Because the only way you can get into the beta is if you have your Twitch account or stream account linked to your Riot account. And then you have to watch streams of Valorant where the streamers have their drops enabled. And it's been like artificially inflating a lot of people's view counts. So at some point there was this guy, he's an Overwatch player, XQC. He had over 100,000 concurrent viewers. Like
just for the beta.
Like, what the fuck is happening? And it's kind of like pissing off the community because it's like, okay, I'm famous. How come I don't have this? Or like, how come this small streamer has it? And now they're like just blowing up for no reason and stuff like that. It's like,
you've
got a bunch of people jelly.
Wow.
Way
to balance the system,
I guess. But, you know, I got in. I got mine, bitch. and I've been playing it. It's very fun. Cool. It's very, very good. A lot of the different characters, like, if you like doing a certain thing, there are characters for you. Like, if you like being super aggro, you play Jet.
Yeah.
And Jet, she can throw down smoke screens, like smoke balls. But also, she has the power of wind, so she can, like, air dash in any direction. Yeah. She can get up on top of stuff. Her ultimate is that she just summons knives. Yeah. And she flicks out knives with the power of the wind and stuff like that. There's a one guy. What the fuck is his name? But he's, like, pure tactician. And so, like, everything you do, you use your wrist computer. And you, like, point out things on the map in your area. So you can drop down smoke screens. You can throw down an incendiary grenade that, like, leaves a fiery trail. Your ultimate is that you just have a fucking satellite cannon and you laser beam a section of the map, so if they're camping you get some kills and stuff like that.
Wow.
It's pretty cool. Very fun. And I don't want to give Riot more money. Because they have like this deal where it's like if you buy premium currency because you're in the beta, you get bonus premium currency. So what happens is like you buy the premium currency in the beta and you unlock whatever, but then when you play the full game, all that currency is tied to your account. You get it all back plus some because you invested in the beta.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so I'm like, maybe I do need a knife skin.
I think so.
Maybe I do need this AK skin. But yeah, my favorite weapon so far has been this thing called the Guardian. It's basically the equivalent of the FAL in Counter-Strike, or not Counter-Strike, in Call of Duty, the single shot assault rifle. And yeah, it's a fun game.
Fun. It sounds like it's one level too intense for me.
This is Overwatch almost. Like, I think Overwatch is the perfect area for the stuff you like.
Yeah.
And that's not to say you're not a tactical gamer. That's just to say, like,
that's the balance
that's like. The balance you like. You like being able to, like, do all this dumb shit, right? And I was listening to a podcast, and this guy brought up a really good point. Like, Overwatch, and this type of game, Overwatch has certain characters where you don't have to aim.
Yeah.
You can be Junkrat and just lob shit.
Yeah.
You can be Reinhardt and just smack people with a hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You don't have to aim. In this game, you need the fundamental, like, gamer knowledge of, I can't just run and shoot at the same time.
Yeah.
Right? I have to, like, stop and then shoot. Or, like, stop, wait 1.5 seconds, and then duck. And then while I'm bursting, I have to drag my mouse down to keep the spread center. Right? It's like, well, that one level of gamer knowledge you need. And because I have that from Counter-Strike, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
But
I'm too old for that.
It's definitely intense.
I've left that behind.
Yeah, there are certain cases where, like, I've been in matches, and there's one guy who's just like, fuck all y'all, I'm the best. And, like, round one, he'll get the Deagle equivalent.
Yeah.
And he'll just be like, headshot, ace. And I'm like, fuck, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, so there's always that one guy.
Yeah, there's always that one guy.
Yeah.
And then I played a couple of things of League of Legends.
Oh, you're back.
I saw a video where they're like, hey, if you really want to climb, try this character called Warwick.
Oh.
He's a wolf.
Yeah.
He's very, very old school. He's like one of the very first characters I think Riot ever released. And they had a remake for him a while ago. But I just want to mention quickly. So he's a werewolf. He's got some fucked abilities. Like, if your opponent is under, I think, 40% health or 50% health, they get marked. And if you follow their smell trail, like they're dying, you get like 100% movement speed and you attack faster.
Okay.
The fuck thing here is his passive. So his basic attacks deal bonus damage based on your health. If Warwick is below 50% health, he heals for the same amount of bonus damage you give. And then if he's below 25% health, that healing value triples.
Wow.
So that why it's working in my ELO is that people don't really know how to team fight or rotate. So when I 1v1 people, they're like, oh, he's low, I'm going to get him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dummy.
Yeah.
And I run up at him. He has an ultimate that, like, just leaps at somebody and locks them down. He has this one. Oh, that's the other thing. He has a defensive skill where when it's active, he takes less damage. And then when he pops it, everyone, like, it has, like, a fear effect where they can't take any actions for 1 second. So not only when they're hitting me am I taking less damage, I'm healing for triple, And then eventually I fear them and then fuck them up.
Yeah.
And so there have been many occasions in like the last 3-4 matches that I've played where I'll be facing like 3 people.
Okay.
And none of them have like healing debuffs. Mm. And I'm just clawing through all of them.
I see.
And they're just like, what the fuck happened? I'm like, this champion's stupid. Huh. So that's been fun. But that's been my week.
Wow, it sounds like you did a lot then.
I did a lot of gaming. I don't know if I did a lot of things.
Oh, I see.
Like, I went on a walk.
Oh, you went on a walk.
I started doing, instead of push-ups, I started doing knuckle-ups.
Wow.
Because apparently it also strengthens your wrists.
You need stronger wrists?
I don't know. Why not just double up?
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
If I'm doing that workout anyways, why not do the one that does 2 things at once?
Yeah, sure. Sure. I thought you were going to tell me you got to butt the bars too so that you could do it.
No, I've been thinking about doing that. Of just buying like a pull-up bar that I can also use as like a push-up bar.
Yeah. Could be worth it.
Could be worth it. Because what you said, like, I cannot do a pull-up.
Mm.
Straight up.
Mm.
Cannot.
Mm.
But you said like a parent, or was it TJ that said it? Like to do negatives?
Yeah.
Where you can start at the top and then slowly go your way down?
Yeah, till eventually build up the strength that you can pull yourself up.
Cool. What if I just get unhealthily underweight and then pull myself?
No.
Damn it.
Because you won't have muscle. You won't have muscle. Ah,
that's the catch-22. That's the catch-22.
Yeah. That's how it works.
They got me.
Mm. Unfortunately.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for it to get warm so I can go on a bike ride.
How long was your walk?
Like 40 minutes.
Wow.
It's fucking cold, man. It started snowing mid-walk in April. The end of April.
That's your fault.
Why is it my fault? It's the weather's fault.
You chose to live in Canada.
I did not choose this. It was decided for me.
Cool. My week wasn't quite as extensive as yours. So I played more Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
I meant to finish it, but then I got caught in the Monster Hunter loop again.
You brought up an interesting thing about Final Fantasy Remake earlier, which is like, you know how they're extending out this game.
Yes.
And that it's,
they've gone into every single detail.
Because even when I'm playing through like the original, I'm like, yeah, there's like some stuff they kind of gloss over.
Yeah. They answer those questions.
Yeah, like how was this?
So they answer those questions, and then when they answer those questions, they add in more.
Oh my God.
So like, I don't know if you remember, I'll give you an example. Do you know the, when not the opening mission but the second mission, right?
Yeah.
And you have to do the ID scan in the trains. Mm-hmm. You ever wonder how you have those fake IDs?
Oh yeah, how do you have those fake IDs?
Well, there's a whole quest line for how you get the fake IDs.
Wow, okay.
Like there's the whole prep to get the fake IDs, mm-hmm. and there's the whole let's just say new characters and new story beats are introduced while you're trying to get these fake IDs.
Okay.
So like they do all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
But it's pretty cool. But no, I've been playing more Monster Hunter because I recently broke the level 70 cap.
Mm-hmm.
So my immediate goal right now is Gold Rathian and something else. Just leveling up so I can get to like Teostra and Lunestra and stuff because I need their parts.
You got to level up to 100 so you do Ruiner Nergigante.
I heard he's got some good shit.
Right in the current event. You got to get there kind of before the end of April, I guess. But
he's got some hot... No, you can get them in the Guiding Lands.
But you don't get the guaranteed drop of that crystal like in the event.
But it's okay.
But I don't care.
But yeah, you're right. The event's till May 9th, so time's a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Or May 7th, so I'll do that. Any other games I'm playing? Nope. I watched a new anime about halfway through it. I meant to watch this last year, but I finally got around to it.
Okay.
And that is Astra Lost in Space.
Oh, I heard good things about this one.
This is the sci-fi. Like, this is 100% sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
Premise is, like, in the far future, space travel and whatnot is the norm. There's flying cars, blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, the high school equivalent or the trip, the equivalent of, a high school trip for them now is, like, going to another planet and being left there for 5 days. And then your teacher comes back and gets you. And, like, they give you, like, it's basically like basic survival. Go to this planet. See ya.
Imagine being on like grade 8 and being like, yo, before you go to high school, we're going to drop you off in the forest.
Yeah.
We'll come back in a week.
yeah. But this one's more like, we're going to, this planet here, it takes us 4 light years to get there. No one's coming for you.
See you in 5 days. This is your task.
That's crazy.
That's what the high school has to do. So it centers around 8 characters. They go do this. They get dropped off. And immediately when they're dropped off on the planet, there's like a sentient black hole.
What?
Yeah.
A black hole who's like, yo, bro, what's up?
And like it just comes for them and it sucks them in. And then they wake up and they are in space.
They're just
floating. Floating in space with their spacesuits on. And there just so happens to be a spaceship there.
Okay.
And the premise is they go to the spaceship. Obviously, there's one kid. Like, there's every archetype, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's the one kid who's real smart. There's mm-hmm. the leader. There's, you know, the friendly person. The mm-hmm. guy who's just going to be, like, the general asshole of the group, right? He's not going to want to participate. The guy who panics. Yeah, and, like, things like that. And they get on the ship, and they're like, and they find out. They're like, oh, my God. We are not 4 light years away from home. We're 5,000 light years away from home.
That's a long way from home.
It's going to take us 3 to 4 months to get home. But this ship does not have the fuel capacity to do it, nor does it have the storage capability to store enough water to last. So,
but also, it's space. So yeah. You just need to get to a certain speed and then coast, don't you?
So, but they don't have enough food. Okay. It's 3 months traveling at light speed. And light speed burns. I don't know. I don't know how they do it.
I just thought, like, the whole thing about space is that there's no friction in space. So you just kind of, like, you hit light speed, shut off the engines, and just cruise at light speed.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
Okay.
But I think...
It's more so...
But the way that they do, they're like, at light speed, it would take them 3 months to get home. But the ship doesn't have the capacity to hold enough water. Like, I think that's like the... The ship can only hold 20 days max of resources.
Also, I know there's people right now listening to this. They're like, well, he said it's 5,000 light years away. And then it said it takes 3 months by light speed to get home. That doesn't make sense. We know. We understand.
Yes. Just remember, light speed is a measure of distance. Anyways. So they've mapped out this plan. Basically, what we gotta do is we gotta just map out planets that we could that have senses of life or water, mm-hmm. and we'll stop there. And basically, we'll do it's basically a space road trip on the way home.
Okay.
And it's hard. It's just 100% sci-fi, right up my alley. I mean, obviously, it's about these kids and the bonds of these 8 characters and living on this ship, and then of course, whatever adventures ensue when they go to different planets.
Is it better than the most current Star Trek?
Yes. Okay. It's very good.
Okay.
What I really like about
it... Is it better than Firefly?
No. What I like about it is it's filmed... Or not filmed. It's done in 21:9.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got the black bars at the top and the bottom.
Oh, cool.
So it makes it feel like very cinematic. Like nice. Very, very important. And first and last episodes are an hour long. So just bear that in mind.
Okay.
Everything else is the regular...
30 minutes, 24
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, something like that. I'm almost done it, but yeah, no, it's really cool. It's right up my alley, though. Like, it's definitely the type of anime. It's like, yeah, it's got the typical anime tropes of like, you know, you're gonna have a waifu, whatnot, or like, there's gonna be like these sort of like jokes. Like, the main character's like a hot-blooded archetype, blah mm-hmm. blah blah, but he's kind of an idiot. So like, yeah, it doesn't escape itself from like traditional or modern anime tropes. But if you like a good sci-fi space set and or setting,
mm-hmm.
this one's one to look out for.
Okay. That sounds pretty cool. Like, I didn't realize that it was just like, hey, we're in space.
Yeah, like, it's not like, there's some fucking powers here, and then there's like all the supernatural bullshit. It's just, no, we are in space.
I thought it was gonna be more like that show. Was it a whatever Gargantua?
Oh yeah.
I thought it was gonna be like that
with the mecha
and they're like going to different planets.
No. Gargantua, like of a virtuous planet or something.
Yeah, I can't
remember. No, this is more like, I don't want to say it's like Space Battleship Yamato.
That's high bar.
Because it's definitely not. Okay. Which, if you had to choose between the two, watch Space Battleship, the new one, because it's fucking amazing. Check it out. Astro Lost in Space is pretty cool. I've banned myself from watching Netflix.
Why?
Like, as in just sitting down and watching Netflix.
Why?
Because I found that, like, I waste so much time just going through episodes of, like, shit I've already seen.
But didn't you see that new hot reality show that's out on Netflix?
Too Hot to Handle?
Too Hot to Handle?
I heard it's just
lukewarm. We're a bunch of horny bitches. Can't have sex. And it's like, oh my God, I can't have sex. And we're all so sexy. What do we do?
But have you seen the reviews?
It's awesome.
Lukewarm, man. Lukewarm.
Of course it is. They can't bone.
Yeah, I know. Apparently they don't go not safe for work enough.
Oh.
So.
Isn't the that what was it? Love is Blind? Isn't that like totally safe for work?
Yeah, it's also it's also shit. So I'm assuming that's why it's amazing. Or why it's popular.
It's gotta be one extreme or the other. It's gotta be Dating Naked or it's gotta be Love is Blind.
Yes.
Okay.
But yeah, so I've been trying not to watch Netflix, like just sitting down watching Netflix.
Yo, but Tara's house.
I know. So my one rule now for watching Netflix is I can only watch Netflix if I'm indoor cycling. That's it.
A weird rule.
Yes.
What's with you in rules lately? I'm gonna ban myself from eating fries. I'm gonna only watch Netflix when I exercise.
Listen, this work from home thing is making me a better person.
I think it's making you a masochist.
Anyways,
it's definitely turning you into an M.
Wow. I cannot. Okay, so the thing about watching Netflix while you're doing something else.
Yeah.
I cannot watch anything with subtitles. So I can't even watch Terrace House.
That sucks, buddy. Time to learn Japanese.
So I've been watching Community. That's the only place I watch Community now.
Yeah.
But the thing that I really watch, I watched two episodes that are out. Have you heard of the documentary of Michael Jordan?
Oh, was it?
The Last Dance?
The Last Dance,
yeah. It's awesome.
I heard it's very good.
It's awesome. Like, obviously everyone knows who Michael Jordan is. Everyone knows the story. So the documentary centers around his final season with the Bulls, the 98 mm-hmm. championship season.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much you remember about that time or like how much you know.
I know very little.
But
I know he's the face of Nike.
Yeah.
And he dunked from the 3-foot line.
Okay. So the idea is like the reason that season was so pivotal is because they were pretty much the top team. Like they were the top dog. They were like in their prime.
Yeah.
But the way management had structured it was this is it. Like we're breaking up the team after this year.
Okay.
Because their view was not that Jordan's time was up.
Okay.
But they were definitely not the young guns anymore. And they wanted to, like, maybe restart over and rebuild the franchise.
They wanted to see, like, they can't rely on Jordan forever. So no time like the present to try
and go out on top.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then we'll start again.
Yeah.
And obviously that, like, when you are the players.
Yeah.
And you guys are like, but we are like.
When you're the best of the best.
Yeah, how are you going to do this?
Yeah.
Right? So that was the big struggle. Like, that was the big controversy that year. So that's what it's centered around, but it goes through Jordan's entire career. Like it flashes back to his beginnings and like people he's met along the way. You get to hear about like the controversy of Pippen and like, and Rodman and everyone else involved.
Pippen.
It's going out weekly. They are long episodes. They are like 1 hour
it's
episodes.
It's not a one.
It's 10 weeks.
How is Netflix betraying their own thing? Like, what
yeah,
are they doing?
It's wild, right? Well, the thing is, it's shared with ESPN.
Oh, okay.
And ESPN, I think, funded the majority of this.
Yeah, they're like, hey, don't.
And ESPN's like, listen, we're doing this weekly.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because in America, it's not on Netflix. It's only on ESPN.
Oh, okay. And then in everywhere else,
it's on Netflix. Okay, yeah. Okay. So, but no, like, if you have, I feel like even if you don't know basketball,
you just know Michael Jordan.
Yeah, you know Michael Jordan. And it's very interesting to see, like...
I watch Space Jam. I know Michael Jordan.
And they do reference that kind of stuff, right?
Is this show the reason why this video has been making the rounds where some modern-day basketball player said that he now was better than Michael Jordan, and then Michael Jordan showed up to his practice and just fucked him up?
Yes.
Is that the reason?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
That's so good.
There's a lot of, like, stories coming out where it's, like, they're just in practice.
Yeah.
And, like, someone pisses Jordan off, and he suddenly turns into, like, aggressive asshole. Yeah.
Get my fucking name out your mouth, son.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, you think you're better than me?
Think you're better than me?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah, I still remember, like, one of my favorite quotes is from Allen Iverson. He's like, I've met Jordan on the court, and he was wearing the Jordans. But, like, they were the Jordans. Jordan was wearing
the Jordans.
And I could feel the aura.
That's some anime shit. Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck.
Imagine being a professional basketball player and having to face Michael Jordan.
I know, right? Like,
fuck that.
That's fucked up.
It's like you've heard the stories, you know, like, and
you've worked, like, you probably idolized him as a kid. You had the poster.
Like, you know, he's the legend.
Yeah.
And then he shows up and you're like, oh, fuck.
And he's wearing the Jordans.
Yeah.
That's the final boss.
Yeah. Like, and you're just like, what am I supposed to do here?
I gotta cast haste.
Yeah. So it's good. It's so entertaining.
Okay.
I think the number one thing, I think Michael Jordan himself said when this came out, he's like, the number one thing I think people are going to take away from this is, I'm an asshole, and I think people, I'm going to lose some fans.
I think that's the thing people need to realize about people who are the best at whatever they do.
Yeah, they didn't get there because they were nice guys.
Like, they got there because they're ruthless, right? In terms of sports, like, they got there because they train their fucking ass off and they're so serious about it. And if you say shit to them, they're going to be like, fuck you, I trained to be the best.
Yes.
Right? Like, you got to realize, like, the people who are elite, they're kind of cunts. Like,
just a bit.
Just a little bit.
I mean, like, when they're retired and they're reminiscing, they're the sweetest people in the world.
Yeah, it's like, look at fucking Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Mike Tyson, he's like a puppy.
Yeah.
But I saw a video of him, like, modern day Mike Tyson. Mm. He's showing some guys some boxing moves. Yeah. And I looked at, I'm like, yeah, fuck that. I'm not gonna, even if I'm a professional boxer, I'm not gonna challenge Mike Tyson, even at his current age.
Yeah.
He's fucking ruthless.
Yeah. But no, I definitely recommend everybody, like, check out The Last Dance. It's it's a worthwhile
watch. That.
It also makes you think of, like, because they have footage that's just like from the past, and you're like, where the fuck do they dig up this footage?
It's got reels, I guess.
Yeah, and it's like, because then you have to think about at the time, who's filming this and what were they filming it for and why wasn't it used?
Huh.
Right, and it's just like all this like behind the scenes shit.
It's just Dennis Rodman home videos. Oh man, like he's secretly taping everybody.
Yeah. Oh shit. Yeah. No, but it's good. It's good. MJ.
That's cool.
Air Mike. Pretty cool. And I think that's it for the week.
Nice.
What you guys need to know is that before we go, Anime Club is back.
Oh yeah. We watched videos.
We did. So before we end, just give yourself a refresher on code YES, because we're doing episodes
12 and 13
of season 2.
Yes.
And we're straight going to the finish, so
I have to get used to the show again, because like we watched it straight for so many weeks, and I'm like, oh yeah, Lelouch can totally do that. And now I'm coming back after the hiatus, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? He's like fucking ultra genius.
Yeah, that's it. So anyways, yeah, look forward to that. If not, we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.